From Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of the audacity of a sukkah. If you think about Sukkot, we often think of a certain paradox. On the one hand, it's the rain holiday. Sukkot is the holiday when we libate water on the altar. Only holiday, only time of year when you pour water down a pipe on the side of the altar instead of wine. Sukkot is a holiday which, according to Eliezer, is a holiday on which you start mentioning rain. Sukkot is a holiday where you shake species that are gadelim al komayim. We say that they grow on water. You don't have a species, you can't have a lulav and etrog, hadassim and ravos. You can't have the four species of Sukkot without water, especially arvei nachal. One of the four species is the willows of a river. You can't have a river in Israel. Rivers are not permanent. It depends on the rain. And not only that, but we actually find hints of the word mayim, water, inside the various offerings of the day. And that's why we libate that water. And some rabbis have suggested that during the days of Sukkot, the sixth day, the seventh day, we should start asking for rain. In fact, there are hoshanot, prayers that we say on Sukkot, in which we say, ananim l'nahamnia, don't prevent the clouds from doing their thing. Well, it sounds like we're asking for rain. On Hoshana Rabbah, the seventh day of Sukkot, we say, Al timna mayim, don't prevent that water. So we don't ask for rain, but we get very, very close to asking for rain. In fact, Sukkot is so connected to rain that the Haftorah for the first day of Sukkot says that it says in Zechariah 14 that if the nation of any nation, but particularly Egypt, doesn't celebrate Sukkot, they won't have rain. Rain and Sukkot are connected. You want rain, you have to have Sukkot. One could suggest that that's why we have the 70 cows, 70 offerings that we bring to commemorate the 70 nations of the world, as described in the Parshat Noach. Why? One might suggest because we want them to have rain too. Chag Nidonin Al Mayim. In fact, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says that it's on Sukkot that we're judged about water. It's all about water. Sukkot is all about water. Now, the problem is that if you ask anybody if you want it to rain on Sukkot, the answer is no. It's so bad if it rains on Sukkot, the Mishnah in Sukkah says it's like Evet Natan Kosel Rabo v'hafach lo akiton al panav. There was a servant who was trying to present a cup of wine to his master, to the king. And the king takes it and he either throws it on the floor right in front of the servant or throws it in his face. If it rains on Sukkot, it's a great insult to the Jew. Jews trying to live in the sukkah. It's Tyrus Potsim in the sukkah. If it's raining in the sukkah, you leave the sukkah. We can't even do the mitzvah that we'd like to do if it's raining. So Sukkot is the ultimate holiday when we don't want it to rain. Everybody knows you don't want it to rain on Sukkot. In fact, one of the Rishonim, I think it's Rashi, I forget exactly where I saw it, says that Sukkot really is a time of rain, but we don't want it to rain on Sukkot. So for many years, I thought about this paradox, this contradiction. It is a rain holiday, it's not the rain holiday. And this year I realized that we need to tell the story of Choni, and then we'll understand what this really represents. The story of Choni HaMa'agel, Choni the circle maker, is a story that's very relevant to understanding Sukkot. Choni was a great pious man. I don't know if he's a rabbi or wasn't, but he was known as the one you go to, the go-to man for rain. So they asked him, please, there's no rain, please pray for rain. He prayed, nothing happened. He says, look, I'm making a circle in the sand, I'm not leaving from here unless you give me rain. So God made it drip, drizzle, sort of a sense of humor, a few drops of water. And he said, I don't mean that. I mean real water. So it started to come down with a vengeance and a passion, and it was crazy. It was raining like cats and dogs. So he said, wait, I don't want this. I want Gishmei Bracha. I want a blessing, rain of blessing. So it rained and it rained and it rained and it rained. And the people came to him and said, Choni, tell God to stop making it rain. Now, you don't pray for Rov Bracha. You don't pray about too much good. Right? I have too much nachas. Please, God, don't give me so much. You can't do that. So you know what God did? Surely he stopped the rain now. Shimon ben Shatach, Rabbi Shimon ben Shatach, the great chief rabbi, the Nasi, the head of the Jewish community at that time, he said, you know, Choni, I would put you in Cherem. If you were in Choni, what am I supposed to do? You're like a member of the kingly household, and when you do a sin, the king kind of looks the other way. So even though you really shouldn't have asked God to stop the rain, because we want rain, we don't want God to stop the rain. And you shouldn't talk that way to God in general, but you're different. Now we go back to Sukkot. On Sukkot, we suggest to God, you know, we're pouring water on the altar because we'd like it to rain. We're shaking these lulavs. When we shake them, it sounds like rain. We're going to mention rain and come to some of the days. Rabbi Eliezer says you would say Mashi Varua. Start mentioning rain on this day, this holiday. We ourselves do say Mashi Varua. We mention that God brings the rain. We praise God in that way on Shemini Atzeret, on the eighth day of the holiday of Sukkot. But we say to God, no, we'd like rain. Sukkot is all about rain. But we don't want rain this day. We want it next week. Reminds me of the joke that Meir Soloveitchik told here once to the congregation. He said, Jew was walking through the Lower East Side and sees an old shop, and he takes his wife and he says, come honey, look, this is a store where I used to have my shoes fixed. Let's see if the old man is still there. He goes and he says, sure enough, the man is there. Now he's really old. And he says, wow, do you remember me? He says, yeah. He says, wait, you're the one who had the black shoes with the white polka dots. He said, that's right. Do you have those shoes? So he says, next Tuesday. Next Tuesday I'll have the shoes ready. That's what we do to God. God says, why would you like the rain? We say, how about next Wednesday? How about after Sukkot, Shmi Atzeret? And then the rabbis added some more. They said, well, we're not going to ask for rain. We're not going to even mention rain, Mashiv HaRuach, Menageshem, until the 2 weeks afterwards when we give the Babylonian Jews enough time to get home so it shouldn't rain on them. So it's like we're saying, God, when would you like the rain? Oh, next Tuesday. We're telling God like children. We're saying, we don't want rain now. We want it later. But God says, well, what if I give you now? Isn't rain good? He says, yeah, it's good, but we're trying to sit in a sukkah. So the Torah set it up in such a way that, you know how we pray for rain? We pray for rain by sitting in a sukkah and saying to God, we'd like it to rain, but not now. What a chutzpah. What an audacity. That's the audacity of a sukkah. That's the closeness of a Jew with God, that he or she can turn to God and say, I want rain. When? Next Tuesday. It's tremendous, tremendous audacity, tremendous precision for the Jew imagines that they're able to do. Now sometimes the circuits get crossed and it rains and God is not pleased with us. But the goal is that we would have such a close relationship with God, we can turn to him and say, you know, God, when would I like it to rain? I think maybe next Wednesday. Thanks for joining us here at the Anshei Sefarad Beth Lehem congregation. And thanks to Jason Lefkowitz, our producer. And thanks for joining us each week for our how-to videos, the holiday videos, Parsha videos. And thanks very much to everyone for listening.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.